Lieutenant Evans, Dexter Gordon, and Johnny Griffin in the spotlight at Carnegie Hall in 1976 with Blues Up and Down, kind of like capturing the mood of our moment right now, Blues Up and Down. Also appearing with Gordon and Griffin are George Cables on piano, Rufus Reed on bass, and Eddie Gladden on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and what a weekend. What a weekend. And I have a little scheme-ish thing going on in my head, and that means you'll get to know what it is, because you have to solve it. We had a pretty rough week last week, and this week promises to be also a pretty rough week. But I wanted to know from you. I wanted you to tell us what has been the role of media in all of this. Certainly, we can't argue that it's been a very newsworthy, newsmaking 2 weeks, this last 2 weeks. But what is particularly noteworthy here? From your perspective, what is most noteworthy? And this gets to the heart of what we talk about all the time about media. So I'm waiting for your analysis, especially today, because we're out of one patch and we're about to enter another patch, which concerns media and media coverage, and it concerns the consumption of media coverage by the people at large. So what does that mean? What are we getting? 888-874-4888. Who's got the answer? Let's see. 888-874-4888. Lots of news, a ton of news, news from all over the place. But what is significant about it? What is the most significant thing about the news that we're getting? And what does that mean for us, all of us? What are we supposed to make of it? I know. You ask such strange questions, Eutrice. It's so clear. They're covering things. I agree, they're covering things, all right. But are they covering up things? That's the question. 888-874-4888. Let's not waste time today. I want to see whether you're on top of the issues and whether you have been paying attention all along to the exercises we've been doing in media literacy. Media literacy. This is yet another media literacy day, culminating the long stretch of news coverage that has come out of different parts of the world, but particularly now, as we see the forces aligning themselves for different reasons and different levels of violence being exhibited, and it's getting worse. It will get worse before it gets better. So what's the deal with the media now? What have you noticed? What is the consequence of that? 888-874-4888. I'm not going to give you the answer. Not that easily, anyway. We have to let you work for it, because we have been discussing these themes for quite a while. And here we are in the middle of what everybody all over the world, people are paying attention to developments in the so-called Middle East. But what is it that they're not paying attention to? That is really what the question begs. It begs us to look carefully at media coverage, or what we have been given as media coverage, and what is it supposed to do? What is it doing? How is it shaping our minds and hearts? I don't see any names on the board. Don't tell me you're getting scared. Don't tell me you're getting skittish. Don't tell me you're backing away. This is your moment. I don't know what is keeping you, but we'll see who comes in first, and we start talking. This is a very important thing, because we're all caught up, it seems to me, in all kinds of discussions, and there's a reason for it. There's a reason we are discussing certain things. There's a reason we're not discussing certain things. There's a reason that we have positions, if you will. We have political positions. We have our minds made up about how we should see the world right this minute, right now, as these things unfold. How is it that people are making up their minds and are so confident that what they're thinking is the right thing? It's the role of the media. The media is informing us, or misinforming us, or disinforming us. But in any event, it's heavy coverage. And what does that mean to you and me? How is it shaping our minds? What examples can you recall of being swayed specifically to think one way or another about an issue that has come up in the context of this war and the evacuating of U.S. citizens from Afghanistan? It's happening right in front of your eyes, and most of us can't see it. Most of us aren't paying attention to how we are being molded and our views being shaped, so that whatever the program is, we are in lockstep with it. Do you have any ideas? All of a sudden, all is quiet on the Western Front. Come on now, let's go. We don't have all day. This is where you show off whether you've been paying attention. And I'm asking you, what have you culled from the attention you have given to this issue? If you have, in fact, given attention to it. What is happening to us now in terms of media coverage and what we as the people are supposed to think? 888-874-4888. I'm very tempted to say, well, that brings us to the end of our program today and move on. But no. We have spent a lot of time talking about the role of media, how it shapes opinions, and for what purpose. You have seen it. You have experienced it. Here is a perfect example of how a country shapes the people's opinions through media. In the case of the United States, because that's what you're closest to and you can more easily observe that and experience it, what are you observing about the role of media and how it is shaping your opinions and ideas? E from Edgewater, you calling in first. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Therese. Hope you're feeling well today.
Thank you. Well, now, what's your opinion of how the media generally, as institutions, are responding to this point in time? What is their discernible purpose? What are they clearly trying to do and achieve?
I think they're trying to convince us that their slant on things is the truth, and we should just be confident that we can trust them. I think what has happened is, because there was men like Walter Cronkite back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, we learned to be conditioned that we could trust these men because they were ethical men. They allowed these men to get high positions in journalism, so because they were telling us the truth. And that's what we got used to. So why should we question it now? Because they've told us the truth in the beginning, and we got conditioned to that. So it should keep on going. But now,
go ahead. Sorry.
What has happened was that news turned into a hype thing, a sensationalism thing. And it's not like it used to be where we got the news. If Walter Cronkite wasn't happy where he was getting his information from, then he'd go find out for himself. You know, he'd go to Vietnam and see if we could really have a chance of winning this war or not. So he would go there and find out, and then he would report back to us about what was going on. So we could trust a guy like him. And that's how we got into this place. You know, they did a nice job on us, this system of putting good guys in there in the beginning when they needed us to work for them hard. They gave us people that we could trust and count on to telling us the truth. And that's how we got caught into this thing. And now it's hard to get out of it. If it makes any sense.
Are you therefore saying you're not trusting the coverage?
Oh, that goes without saying. Since the 1970s, you know, I could bring up, Eyewitness News, Channel 7, 1968, came on the scene and changed how the news was delivered. It became more of a sensational, and then all the stations followed in that. So, you know, you couldn't trust it anymore because it was all about getting ratings. You know, the news became like a show, like a big deal. Used to be just like a half an hour thing. You got the sports, the weather, the international stories, what was going on. But now everything is hyped up to the utmost level. And we don't know what's true or not true. And how can you trust it? Because, you know, everything has to be scrutinized now and questioned because we've been lied to so many times, you know, in the last 50
years. What is your opinion of the role of the media right now?
The role of media right now is because they have been corrupted and have to bow down to the system. They are doing what the system requires them to do. So they're not really reporting news anymore. They're reporting what the system wants us to know. They're not telling us what the truth is. They're telling us what the system wants us to know. Whether that's the truth or not, that doesn't matter. Like when Johnson said, if you can trick people into believing something that's true is false, and something that's false is true, then you got them right in the palm of your hand. So, you know, that's the way we do it.
Could you think of an example in the current moment that we're in where this absolutely made itself evident, what you're talking about?
Yeah, I can follow up with the last show, Gary Knowles' show. He's talking about ivermectin, and the media is trying to make it like it's a bad thing. Even though Gary Knoll has done tests and done his academics and make sure that this is safe and it works, now the media is trying to tell us that's a horse pill and it's for deworming animals and it's not for human consumption. Whether it works or not, we're not supposed to even talk about that. We're not supposed to think about it. All we have to know is to get a vaccine, and that's all we need to know. And that's follow orders. You know, we're all in the military now. We gotta either follow our orders or you go into the stockade, you know? So
thanks, Steve, for calling in and getting us started. I think you made some powerful points here. Let's see if anybody catches on and follows up, because
you laid
out quite a few powerful points for us today, starting the program out. Thank you.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. What is particularly peculiar about the role of media right now in this time that we're experiencing? What is it doing? What is it communicating to all of us that we should be doing? Is this something that is accidental? Is it planned? Is it something that we have seen before? Or is this something new? Because don't forget, in this time, there are lots of things coming into play. We have the leftovers from the years of terrorism. We have the branching out of new groups. We have a real clear-cut situation of danger for the nation and other nations as well. We have turmoil at the world level. We have all kinds of things happening here, but we are nonetheless, we are thinking, our mindset is being shaped by so-called media coverage. What is that coverage? What is peculiar about that coverage? I need to hear from you. I'm not hearing from you, so you probably are very excited about the coverage you're getting, and you like it, and you approve. 888-874-4888. I'm asking these questions because we talk about these things almost, we have talked about them, I should say, almost in theory. Now it's real. And you should have been paying attention to how we are being moved along a predictable line of consent, a predictable line of thinking based on coverage. Media organizations are investing heavily in this moment to persuade the nation to go this way or that. Well, who are the masterminds here? Who is creating knowledge and for knowledge's sake, in order to influence our thinking? Because now this involves our thinking about foreign policy, our thinking about domestic policy, our thinking about where the country is headed, who gets to have the power to determine that. How are things being decided? Nobody's discussing it. It's very, very quiet. And why? Come on, you talk all the time about media. There's no need to be silent now. Let's hear what you're thinking. What stories are appearing with alarming regularity? What is the purpose of these stories being given to us? What are we being set up for as the consuming public? What is it that they want out of our heads? What are we supposed to be delivering? Your thoughts. You're always criticizing media, and I agree, because you've made strong points about that in the past. I don't see anybody on the board yet. Where are you? This is a vital subject because there's a way to go still on this question of how do you shape a country? How do you get people to predictably believe what you want them to believe? How does this work? What are the ingredients to this recipe for obtaining and getting widespread approval, widespread consent. What kinds of stories have you seen or noticed appearing, and they have a specific purpose to them, as it seems? It's not news, because even if we take the coverage from yesterday about Hurricane Ida, did we get the customary stories? Did we get a lot of people who are familiar with weather patterns and all of this stuff? You know, there was poor Al Roker, for he's standing out there in the wind and the rain, trying to do his best to deliver a kind of weather-related story. And it was sad. But the fact is that you couldn't help but understand, you couldn't help but get from that media organizations are clear about having a specific mission in these times right now. What is that mission? What are they supposed to be doing? Bruce from Queens, you're on the air.
Patrice and to the PRN family. Well, what I think, in my opinion on this subject, is the media is supposed to be with intrepid reporters that go for the scoop, that dig for the scoop and get the truth, and also they supposed to convey that to the public, because that they work for the public. But I understand what's happening now is we getting bombarded with this pandemic, and get the shot. Now they're attacking the children. They want to get the children to take the shot. And they're going, the ages is getting lower and lower. And I used to watch this program in my youth. It was called Superman. And they used to have a reporter called Lois Lane. She would do anything for a scoop, to get the scoop, to show to the editor. And the editor had to print it on the Daily Planet. Well, it was like science fiction and stuff like that. But the reporters today, they're like saying the same thing, like all of them saying the same thing. Nobody has no new news. And they do, here's a big thing, they don't follow up. They don't follow up on stories that was given. And if they do follow up, people just lose interest. Like 6 months later, they pop up and nobody don't see it. Or some people might see it, but not everybody see it. And that burns me up. And I'm trying to know how to get back and get them back on track, because they do work for the people. That's my story.
What have you noticed about media coverage right at this time?
Well, they're dominating with something that happened over in Kabul, Afghanistan. And this history actually literally repeating itself from the Vietnam era. Instead of they learning by that and investigated on that subject and saying that we're doing the same thing over and over again, what should we do to make it things better? And we don't go into this trap. And then it's the repeatedly every day, every night is all these commercials, the governor, the mayor, you mentioned it, is all the way about the pandemic. Get the shot. If you don't get the shot, you're infecting everybody else. They're separating us. Like, people will lose their jobs if they don't want the shot. They don't lose their job. If people are already in a crisis with the rent, not paying the rent because they couldn't work because of the pandemic. But they don't follow up on that. They just tell you about it, but don't follow up on it and let you know what is Congress doing, what is the Senate doing to rectify this problem. That's the way I see it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bruce. That's it for today. Thanks a lot. Lincoln from New York. You're on the air.
Yeah, good day, Utrecht.
Hello.
Hope you're in good stead.
I'm hanging in. That's the best I could do.
I keep telling you, say I am persevering. It's more active. It's more positive. I'd like for you to humor me for a second, because I want to introduce something that I know are resistant to because of, you know, like your comments in the past, and it's the spiritual angle. When I say resistant, I'm talking about especially from the biblical point of view. What we are seeing in the media is it's evident that everything is coming under one umbrella. It is so evident that the people are being conditioned for this order that is getting ready to be imposed on them. And I mean this worldwide. And we, the people, are actually, we participated in it. You know, when they were silencing people on Twitter, etc., we went along with it. You know, once it was someone we didn't like or some people we didn't like. But what they're doing presently is indicating that everything, everyone is gradually coming under the auspices, the leadership of the minds, the bodies of people who are supposed to be, who are planning the total takeover of the world. And you can, this is the part I think you might be resistant to. If you understand Revelation, if you read that book, you would really, because it's not just a spiritual book, it's a political book, it's also a scientific book. You would understand what is happening right now. And it's a funny thing, people keep talking about, what's his name, George Orwell's 1984. And his 1984 is not as explicit as Revelations is. It's an amazing thing. This thing was prophesied 2,000 years ago that we're going to come under a one-world government and that you're not going to be able to eat, work, etc., unless you have this chip. It's just that back in that time, they didn't say chip, they say mark of the beast. But that's what it is. It's about the computer system. That's what credit cards are about. I remember the first time
Wait a minute. Before... You are way off topic now. You started making a point, and now you are way off topic. I asked.
No, I am showing you.
What is the message we are getting now from media, and why are we getting this message now?
The message is, simply put, you will have to fall in line. You will have to go along with what we tell you. You know, and it's all, the message we're also getting is that the truth will not be occurring. It's just like when they told you recently about the, I mean, a couple of days ago about the strike of the, the so-called terrorists in Afghanistan. They didn't strike the people. They didn't strike the people who carried out the bombing. So it's just like how police, when someone commits a horrible crime, they got to find somebody. Somebody got to be found guilty, like they did with the Central Park Five. They didn't strike the people who committed the bombing in Afghanistan. They just struck someone because they know that the populace are gullible. And we just go along with it and say, oh, they took revenge. They took revenge. They didn't take no revenge. Just like when they killed Bin Laden. Bin Laden had nothing to do with 9/11. And they know the gullible people are going to say, oh, yes, it happened. You know, we got the perpetrator. They are training us. They're conditioning us to do as we are told. That's the purpose of the media right now. And we, the people, are so gullible. We are like cattle. We're like cattle with nooses in our noses. and we go any which way they tell us to go. And that's what's happening. And many of us here in this forum are guilty of this, because when this whole election thing and et cetera was going on, we went along with whatever the media told us, if it was in favor of our personal proclivities or agendas. And so we spit in the sky, like they would say in Jamaica, and it's falling back in our faces. And you know, they're creating this herd mentality. That's what we're suffering from, herd mentality. And they're playing upon our shallowness, our vacuousness.
I get the picture that you're communicating, but you're not answering the question. Just the same. It's very dramatic, your response, but you're not answering the question.
I thought I did.
No. Yes, you would think you did, but you didn't. You created a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama associated with your answer, but I would have liked you to methodically take us through your thinking on why it is that the coverage seems to be so uniform right now. What could be the reason for that?
I just explained to you, it's uniform because they're all on the take. They're all under one umbrella. All of them have been infiltrated by the powers that be, by the CIA, etc. That's why. It's all coming from the same headquarters. That's why. It's uniform because it's coming from the same place. Someone is giving the directive. This is what we say today. This is what we say tomorrow. That's what it is. Simply put, it's so obvious.
How do you explain that in relationship to President Biden?
He is the idiot.
We don't have to go there and call people idiots and whatnot. Come on. Let's have a...
I didn't say he is an idiot. You know, I said he is the idiot. That's what I said.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. Let's have...
No, it's not. Okay, let me use another terminology.
Raise the standards.
He is the tool. He is the puppet. The man who's suffering from... some mental deficiency, some Alzheimer's or something, and it's easy for us to use him. He's appropriate for right now. You know, he'll do anything we tell him to do. He's not thinking clearly. You know, he's our total puppet. That's all it is. It's so obvious.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lincoln, for your considered opinion today. Thank you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. At 888-874-4888.
Hi, Trees. Sounds like you're getting a little lonely there. Were you lonely?
No.
Okay. I just heard you guys. There weren't too many people. I was busy, so I thought that was my excuse. I was driving. But
we have a lot of interference on your line. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but it's going in and out very fast.
Oh, shoot. Okay. That sucks. Okay. Do you want me to hang up and call back?
Let's try that. See if it works a little bit better.
Okay.
Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my
call.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm going to try to continue on what Lincoln was talking about. Basically, I'm going to leave off where he was talking about how they're trying to condition us in regards to this Afghanistan story. For what they're conditioning us for is for what you had alluded to last week in your question about whether or not we were going to have war as a result of this withdrawal. And we just might have a war. You know, going by the way they're trying to condition us into being more interested in what's happening in Afghanistan. All of last year, Afghanistan only received 5 minutes worth of media coverage, yet we're getting 24-hour media coverage with this Afghanistan withdrawal. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that might be what they're trying to set us up for, trying to emotionally get us more involved with the Middle East. And just the other day, I believe the Prime Minister of Israel visited with President Biden, and he reiterated that he was, you know, resolved in making sure that Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon. So I don't know if that might have anything to do with it, but we might be collecting our chips in order to place a better, a bigger bet somewhere else within the Middle East.
Hmm. What do you think about that, if that has any merit at all? What do you think?
I think it does, because from what they keep telling us is that Iran is getting closer to obtaining a nuclear weapon, and Israel keeps saying that they will not allow that to happen, and if Israel attacks Iran, Iran, I'm pretty sure, is going to defend themselves, and if they attack, retaliate on Israel, then I believe the United States is going to feel compelled to defend Israel.
Wow.
And that might
be a story, if you can. Could you point to a story that we have been exposed to in the last, say, 2 weeks that gives you pause about what is the media up to? What is it that they're trying to accomplish here? And why is it that the kind of coverage we see, I mean, big story about the storm and everything else, that's great. But even so, it doesn't compare with how they used to cover storms and hurricanes. What is going on in media right now, you think?
I think another part, bringing it back home in the domestic aspect of it, like I said, you have the foreign aspect where they might be trying to grease the skids for a broader war in the Middle East. But back at home, I had told you that that they might be war in Washington, and basically they might be trying to set up a removal of Joe Biden, and that's why it seems like all of the networks are basically not holding back any punches in regards to the way he's been handling this evacuation in Afghanistan. I mean, they've been leaking everything out.
Yeah, like through a strainer. Things are just dripping out.
Yeah, they've been leaking all the information, you know, all the information, because you remember, you have a lot of media people embedded in these foreign countries, and they've been leaking out all of their personal stories out there, and it seems like all the daggers are pointing towards Joe Biden, and they seem to want to get him out.
Very good observations. Very astute observations. Thank you, Tony, for contributing today. Gwen, word has it that you're back.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think Tony, I just want to piggyback on what Tony said. I think he's 100% right. I think that Biden wasn't doing the Israel walk. And what fascinated me last week is how fast the media turned on him. And it was before the bombings. It was before they had the attack at the airport where our soldiers had died. And this is really strange, because this was the same media that is praising him to heaven before. And now it was like, well, does he really know what he's doing? And the thing is, up to the point where the soldiers were killed, to me, as I said a couple days ago or last week, I didn't really think anything looked unpredictable about what was going on at that airport. I'm pretty sure that most people expected that. And I'm pretty sure that Biden expected it, too. There was going to be chaos. So I think that, look, you know, I don't consider myself anti-Semitic or anti-Israel. You know, half of my family is Jewish. But I really think that when it comes to Israel, they have such an incredible hold on the United States. It's like, it's like, whoever thought this little tiny country would constantly dictate to us the terms of how we live. Even when the president of Israel came and addressed our Congress when Barack Obama was the president, it was so utterly rude and out of place and wrong. It was just wrong. You come to our country and you ignore that we have a president and just start carrying on your business in front of, with our Congress. Like, you know, who do you think you are? That was Netanyahu anyway. That was him doing that. So I think that Tony's not wrong in his insight there. I wanted to say there was one thing that caught my eye, I think yesterday I heard on regular TV, either yesterday or this morning, that there were two men that had radio shows, and they were very proud to be anti-vaxxers. And I thought it was very interesting that they both just died, and they both just died almost in the same amount, in the same period of time. They don't work at the same station. They are two different people with the same point of view. So that was something I thought was kind of strange. And there was one other thing. Oh, I also thought it was strange when I was watching last night the news, because to me, the headline last night surely should have been this gigantic storm that was headed for Louisiana. But instead, it was COVID first, and it's always COVID first. And the thing is that, you know, there are a lot of COVID cases, but I don't know that there is as many deaths as there were when we started out with this disease. And so it's been, you know, all over the world, it's been told to the media that this is your assignment every single night and day, nonstop, 24 hours a day, we're going to do COVID coverage. And it's ad nauseum. And I think that they're actually losing people because it's on commercials. Now I called 311 in New York this morning, and we now have a hotline to turn in your neighbor if you suspect they don't have a shot. But anyway, as far as the news is concerned, I mean, I think for many years ago, the news changed. I think when CNN came on board, it was very interesting in the beginning, but you know, it was not the news anymore, because 24 hours a day is kind of a hard space to fill up. And yet that's what they have to fill up. And ratings do matter. I even the Mary Tyler Moore show shot through my head when I heard E! Talking about the ratings. And I remember, wasn't that strange that her show was based on a newsroom that got really lousy ratings. And it was in the 1970s. And I think it was probably just before CNN came on board as a 24-hour news station. But today, the news is so thinly veiled that it's not, you know, I watch it a little bit, but it's mostly propaganda 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, there's news out there, and I have to tell you that I listen to Gary Noll every single day, more for his news on COVID, because he is doing such an excellent job of covering COVID, the changes that happen every day, the new information that he's bringing to the table, the more information, filling out information, answering questions. This is really riveting information for me, and I don't miss that show. I don't miss that show any day if I can. And if I do, I listen to it at night, because I am very concerned about what is happening with this shot that they want to give us, as well as the disease. And I think if the news stations were showing the actual news as Gary is covering it, and many other people on this network, then I think that their ratings would probably even go up. But I think that most people have turned off the news because it is utterly boring. It is does not impact our lives. And every newspaper reporter and anyone's covering TV is so censored. When they come to a protest, believe me, unless you parrot what they want you to say, you're never going to hear your point of view at night, not ever. And so it's almost not even worth talking to them. But I will say this also, as I watch the change in the reporters too. Reporters used to come down hungry for your point of view. They were hungry for an opinion and a good piece to put on the TV. When I went to this rally last week, that yes, it was a rally about not having mandates here in New York City for the vaccine. I think that's a fascinating subject. I think it's very interesting, very deep. And yet the reporters were borderline rude to the people that were in the protest. They'd already made up their mind, and I guess they believe what they're saying. There was one reporter that I gave some interesting information to, who was from Gary Knoll's website. And, you know, he was a really young guy, and he was actually interested. But I wanted to tell him, don't worry about it. Go home and look at it. But if you think that those words are ever going to hit the light of day, that's not going to happen. So I think that, unfortunately, people feel very, very cynical when it comes to the news. But I also think we're very frightened at the same time, because we know from our history, we know about Nazi Germany, we know how they conquered so much territory so quickly was through a very well-oiled propaganda machine. And I think that is what our news is today.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your analysis today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, Trish, how you doing?
Okay, how are you, Ed?
You know, me and my thumbs here hanging. hanging
by your thumbs. Well, at least you're hanging. What's going on now? What is this period that we're in? What are we experiencing, and why are we experiencing it in terms of media?
Well, people have touched on it. I mean, this we have a situation where there are a lot of media outlets, but there's only specific media sources. This has happened before during World War II, and even in World War I, where the propaganda machine controlled the outlet of information, and reporters' careers were culled by how they reported the information. And then that's the situation. We don't have true news gatherers, because we don't have a public that has an attention span long enough to really absorb true news. You know, who, what, when, where, how. We get the sources that are presented are primarily controlled by the government, and there's one story. And if you go outside of that one story, you're painted as a conspiracy theorist, you're painted as a quack, you're painted as a loon, you're painted as a nut, and the bottom line is you lose your career, and people got to eat. So people are willing to compromise themselves, or even to act the art of journalism, because journalism is not just a trade, it's an art. There's a way to tell a story, and, you know, there's many sayings. History is written by the victors. You know, the African proverb of a lion painting a picture of a hunter, you know, the hunter wouldn't be standing on top of the lion. So we don't have true news gatherers. We don't have true news sources. We have media, which, in my opinion, is not really news. It's more entertainment. And if it bleeds, it leads. From these stories where reporters standing out in hurricane conditions and wind blowing and rain coming down on you, to show the spectacle of it and not the actual report. How come electricity is out in New Orleans? No one had an idea of putting a generator on top of a roof after the horror of Katrina? I mean, where's that reportage at? You know, there's no way that New Orleans should be without electricity. Come on. Well, what was going on? What precautions were taken? What preparedness was done in the event of this known coming hurricane? That's a story. We're not hearing any of that. We're getting all of the drama. We're getting all of the innuendo, but we're not getting any of the facts. And that's what news is for. News is to inform you and to educate you and to prepare you for what needs to be done in your community, in your world. It is supposed to be insightful and provoke thought and provoke discussion. And we don't get that. We get the spectacle, bread and circuses now.
I want to hinge onto that word that you just used, prepare. What is it that we think we might be preparing for or being prepared for by media? And it results in a uniform tone of coverage that doesn't necessarily tell us what we need to know, but tells us what somebody thinks we ought to know.
Well, we're being called by the government. You know, people don't like to hear the word the powers that be, the deep state, the establishment. We're being called to accept circumstances as they're being presented. This country has long since stopped, or I don't even know if it ever really did, teach you, give you a real education, because a real education teaches you how to think objectively. And news is supposed to be part of that. Current events, the study of history, to look at the mistakes, to look at the patterns that develop within human events, and to learn from those patterns and to ascertain solutions based on that objective observation. And we don't have that anymore. We've got one-sided emotional reporters. We've got one-sided emotional sources. People base their decisions on how they feel about a certain thing and not the facts. You know, you're entitled to have your feelings, but the facts are the facts. And until we can get to a point to where we can report the facts and debate them, which at periods of time in this country we have been able to, but now I think it's a lost art, the conversation, debate. They're lost ability due to the fact that it services the status quo. And that's what I believe.
Does any story come to mind that illustrates the point that you're making, that we have one story, no matter where you look, it's pretty much the same theme, the same angle, the same sources even. Does any story come to mind that makes you reconsider that this is not normal? There's something happening here that we need to pay attention to.
On the whole COVID-19 vaccination story, I mean, pretty much when you look at media outlets, it's the same all over. Anybody that presents any type of alternative treatment or alternative view or questioning of the facts or how the facts are presented, it's the same narrative on top of that. You know, you can't be outside of that norm. And if you are, you're dismissed. I mean, even it goes back to the way they're telling all these stories, the hurricane story. I mean, you know, like I said, New Orleans, there's no reason that there should be no electricity in New Orleans, not after the tragedy of Katrina. What was done? What were the officials doing in New Orleans? How were they preparing for this? Was anything prepared? You know, the levees collapsing and all of these things. Why are we in a state in New Orleans like this now? Nobody's reporting on that. Everybody's reporting on the tragedy of the storm, but nobody's reporting on why the storm is so tragic. Same thing with the COVID. Even goes back to Cuomo, who I'm not a fan of, but how everybody, one day you love them, the next day you hate them. And there's a uniformity about that. I mean, it's journalism has been reduced to emotional tirades. And if you go against that, then you're out of the loop. And that's preparing the public to accept everything and anything without question.
Thank you. Very enlightening, as usual. Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I thought I would raise the subject because I know in my gut we being prepared for something big, that the whole nation would be corralled into participating in and supporting. This is not normal. This is not natural. And it couldn't just happen by, you know, stance. It's just incidental. This is orchestrated. And we would probably soon know what the ultimate goal here is, but it should trouble us. And I'm glad that we got so many analyses today that pretty much echoed the same concern. It should trouble us that, at least in our most recent experience and current experience, we are not being served by media to think independently, to examine and to question. We just not, it's not being done. we are treated every day to silly stories that anybody just falling out of bed in the morning can just rub their eyes and go out and write a story like that. But we're being shaped up for something. What that something is, I don't know. But we're seeing pieces of it, and they will all fall into place pretty soon. So be alert. Pay attention. And don't give in so easily to what this media outlet or another media outlet says the story is. Just don't accept that. Be alert. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for your very considered opinions today and for participating so enthusiastically in this discussion. I thank you. Bye-bye.